Our text this morning is Psalm 61. To the chief musician on a stringed instrument, the Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word and pray that you would send your Spirit to be at work within us and among us, taking this word and applying it to our hearts, changing us more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray in his name. Amen. There are times when life simply overwhelms. It might be some particular special or extraordinary occurrence. As, for example, an acquaintance of mine who is a pastor in Calvary Presbytery pastors a small church, and because it's a small church, he works a full-time engineering job in addition to his pastoral work. And you can imagine that with wife and family, that is, if you will, overwhelming enough. But a couple of weeks ago, his wife suffered a major stroke. And at the hospital, a second stroke. And so for the past 2 weeks, she's been in the hospital recovering. But the strokes were serious enough and severe enough that if she ever regains her former skills and abilities, it will be a long time. Sometimes life overwhelms. And sometimes it's not anything extraordinary. Sometimes it's just the toll of daily life. Imagine most of you don't have to imagine. You are a mother with young children. And some days, it's just one more dirty diaper, it's just one more screaming infant, and all of a sudden, life overwhelms. I was reading, strangely enough, in a Bible commentary the other day, and the commentator was quoting a book by Annie Lamott, who I gather is a Christian writer, and she was saying that as she was chatting with other women in her situation, mothers with young children, they discovered that there are basically two prayers that they pray frequently. And the first one is, help me, help me, help me. And the second is, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes life overwhelms. We don't know when in the life of David this psalm was penned. We do know that in the book of Psalms, David sometimes speaks as the type of the coming Messiah. We also know that sometimes in the Psalms, David speaks as king and representative of his people. And at other times, David speaks simply as a man. And here, in this psalm, he speaks as a man speaking to other men, revealing to us how we are to pray and what we are to pray when life overwhelms. The first thing that we need to do is recognize that life has overwhelmed us. There are some of us from the stiff upper lip school of Christian living, the Nike school of sanctification, just do it. But sometimes, even for us, life overwhelms. And we need to be willing to admit to God that we need help. If we don't think we need help, if we're unwilling to admit that life has overwhelmed us, we will not go looking for the help that we need. And God certainly often has mercy on those of us stupid enough not to call on help in our not to call on Him for help in our time of need, but nonetheless, we are to recognize our need. He commands us, cast your care on me, for I care for you. And so we're to hear David and cry with him, hear my cry, O God. And that word cry is more often translated shout. David's not afraid to make his voice heard in the vault of heaven. Attend my prayer. Listen to me, O God. I'm sure you young mothers have had the experience of speaking to your children and they're not really listening because they're busy among themselves. And you have to raise your voice to get their attention. That's true. We don't have to raise our voice to get God's attention. But God is not put out when we do. Hear our cry, O God. Now, there used to be a bumper sticker out. If you feel far from God, guess who moved? And sometimes we feel far from God, and it's not because anybody moved. We just feel far from God. We're fallen creatures living in a fallen world, and God seems distant. And life overwhelms. We recognize that we need help, and we cry to God for help. And the first thing that we call for, the first thing that David calls for here is, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now, I would guess that most of us have no idea what that means. That what David is trying to communicate by saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, we have perhaps some idea that it's connected with Christ, because that line shows up in a couple of hymns. Well, that's not really what David means by that. David is saying, God, give me some perspective. And you're asking, how do I get from a rock higher than I to the idea of perspective? Think of David, a king, a military leader. How do you get perspective on a coming battle? You get to a high place and you look down over the land before you and you see how the armies are arranged. And it helps you to plan. It helps you to understand what the real situation is. In the military, they call it intelligence. Knowing where your enemy is. Knowing how he's deployed. And when we feel overwhelmed by life, the first thing that we need is to be able to get some perspective on the situation. To understand that things will not always be the way they are. And of course, if you're a pessimist, you say, yeah, sometimes they might get worse. Well, it's important to recognize, yes, sometimes they might get worse, but you're never going to be able to know unless you've got that perspective, unless God has lifted you up, if you will, and enabled you to see things through His eyes. You know, we read about David being a man after God's own heart, and we often think that what that means is that David had a special affection for God, that David had a really deep-seated love for God. That's true that David did have a special affection for God. He did have a deep-seated love for God, but that's not what that line means. You see, in the Old Testament, the heart is not the seat of the emotions. It's not the seat of feeling. It's the seat of thinking. It's what, in our parlance, we call the mind. God said David is a man after my own mind. He sees things from my perspective. And that's why when he went up against Goliath, he was able to see that it was not necessary to fight Goliath on his terms. It was not necessary to take the opportunities that he had to assassinate Saul, but that God would take care of Saul in his own time and in his own way. And so we're to ask for the mind of Christ, to ask for that godly perspective, even when life overwhelms. But notice the second thing that David prays for. You have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. No, we're not much familiar with towers today. Not in their military sense, at any rate. But if you go to Europe, you'll see many walled towns. Why were they walled? Well, they were walled because it was protection against the enemy. And David says, when life overwhelms, I need shelter. You need shelter. You need protection. You feel open and vulnerable like a city without walls and an oncoming horde of the enemy rushing at you. Like people in Louisiana with the floodwaters of the Mississippi moving toward them. Like the people in Japan who got the warning of the tsunami and then looked out their windows, as it were, and saw that 30-foot wall of water coming at them. Or the people in Alabama and here in eastern North Carolina who saw those tornadoes coming. Sometimes life overwhelms. And what we need is not only perspective, but we need protection. And what a lot of people discovered is that even well-built brick houses are not protection against tornadoes. Well-built buildings are not protection against tsunamis. God alone is our protection and our defense, our strong tower against the enemy. The third thing that he asks for here, I will abide in your tabernacle forever, or let me abide in your tabernacle forever. Now, I want you to think about the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? It was that traveling tent that moved around with Israel in the wilderness. And then once they were in the land, it stayed first at Shiloh, and then it was moved to other locations. But what did the tabernacle represent? It represented God dwelling in the midst of his people. In the wilderness, by day, there was a pillar of cloud visibly above the Ark of the Covenant, which was housed in the center of the tabernacle. At night, there was a pillar of fire, and it symbolized the protection of God, but also the presence of God in their midst. Wherever that tabernacle went, wherever that Ark of the Covenant went, there was God in the midst of his people. That's what that represented. But you know, nobody lived in that tabernacle except for the presence of God. The high priest alone, oh yes, on an everyday basis, the priests were busy in the outer courts, sacrificing animals, burning them on the altar. The high priest himself had the responsibility of going in and making sure that the lamp was lit, that the bread of the presence was laid out, that he would burn incense before the Lord. But once a year, he would enter into the most holy place with the blood of bulls and goats. And once a year, for a few minutes, he would be right there in the presence of God. And David says, Let that be my experience continually. Not just once a year, not just occasionally for a few minutes, but God, let me be in your presence. Let me know your presence. Not just perspective, not just protection, but God, when life overwhelms, I need your presence. I need to know that you are with me. Let me dwell in your tabernacle forever. And then connected with that sense of the presence of God, the knowledge of the presence of God, it's not always a felt thing, but what assurance do we have? We have the Word of God telling us what? That if we are in Christ, He is in us by His Holy Spirit. We dwell day by day in the Holy of Holies. We live hour by hour in the Holy of Holies because His Holy Spirit, if we are in Christ, indwells us. And as Paul says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not just you, the church, but you as individual Christians. The Spirit indwells you and His presence is with you. And if His presence is with you, so is His protection and so is His perspective. But there's one other element there beyond the perspective and beyond the protection and beyond the presence, and that's the comfort. The image here is a familiar one from Scripture. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Remember Jesus' words over Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? But you would not. The image there is of drawing in and comforting and protecting and sustaining. And when life overwhelms, sometimes, and again, there are enough small children in this congregation that you all know what I'm talking about. Those small trials that seem so large to small people. And life overwhelms and suddenly the child is in tears. And what does he want? He just wants his mother's arms. When life overwhelms, sometimes that's just what we need. Gathered on the everlasting arms because life has overwhelmed. But it's not just a cry for help in the presence. It's not in the present. It's not just a cry for perspective and protection and for comfort. It says in verses 5 through 8, God, I have committed myself to you. Help me fulfill that commitment. In the midst of the overwhelmingness of life, keep me faithful. Now, verses 6 and 7, David is not praying here concerning himself. I think it's important to understand that. You know, David was a good king. He had his sins and he had his faults. He had his failures, but he was a good king. But guess what? His reign ended. David died. Hezekiah was a good king. But his reign ended and David died and Hezekiah died. And the same with Josiah and all those other decent kings who followed after David. They fulfilled their term. They fulfilled their days and they died. David says, O Lord, give us a king. Add days upon days to his life. May his years be as many generations. Hear what God is saying. Hear what David is saying to God. God, we need a king who will not come to the end of his reign, who will not fail at the end, who will finish, if you will, well. Give us such a king. May he abide before God forever. You know, David had that promise that the Christ would be his son, his descendant, his seed. And David here is simply praying, God, fulfill that promise. Send that one that he might reign forever. It's a little hard for us who are on this side of the cross to imagine what it was like for those on the other side to have to live, if you will, with the symbolism rather than the reality, with the shadow rather than the substance, with the expectation rather than the knowledge of fulfillment. And yet, on the other hand, we share their struggle because we do not yet see Christ as king. We know that he reigns, but we see his reign but dimly. And so we can join with the Apostle Paul and say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You know, David could pray with confidence, even in the overwhelming times of life, because he knew that God had promised a Savior, and that that Savior was certainly coming, and was working all things together according to his will and according to his purposes. And we can pray with that same confidence because we know that that one has come and will come again. There are times when life overwhelms, and not just for Christians, but for non-Christians as well. And non-Christians, unbelievers, may pray for help. They may pray for protection and for comfort and for perspective. And they may hope that their prayers will be answered, but they have no assurance that they will. They have no certainty that they will, because they pray to an unknown God, a God that they're not even certain perhaps is there, and they're not certain who is able to answer. That's what separates us from them. We might pray the same prayers, but we pray with confidence and with certainty, even in the uncertainty of life, even in the misery of life. Because the God to whom we pray has sent his own Son for us. He has sent mercy and truth to us. I'm not sure that that word mercy is adequate. Some translations render it loving kindness. Some translations render it steadfast love, but it's the idea of God committing himself to fulfilling that which he has promised to his people in his covenant with them. The truth of God is fundamental. You know, we know people who lie. We know people whose word we cannot trust. And they'll tell us, well, I'm going to do thus and such. And we walk away knowing that it's not going to happen, or that if it does, we will be quite surprised. Maybe we're like that. We say to somebody, I'll pray for you. And that's the last time we think of it. But God is faithful to His promises. He is true to His word. And what He has promised, He will fulfill. We seek to be faithful to God. We seek to be obedient to what He has commanded us to do because we love, because He first loved us. But we will sing His praise forever because He has been our protection. He has been our comfort in the overwhelming trials of life. You know, young mother, you will get through it. You may not remember much of it 10 years from now, but you will get through it. And, you know, I don't really know any of you. I don't know if any of you have suffered any disasters in the past few weeks. But, you know, you'll get through it. But it's more than just getting through it. It's learning through it to gain God's perspective, to benefit from His protection, and most of all, to know His presence and His comfort when life overwhelms. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, life in a fallen world is often difficult to deal with and frequently overwhelming. Hear our prayer that You would be with us, that You would draw us into Your presence and show us the way we should go, that You would protect us from the attacks of the enemy, that we would sing Your praises, knowing that day by day You deliver us, You provide for us, You draw us each day nearer and nearer to the fulfillment of our salvation. Help us to be faithful. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.